You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Ramil, credentialed reporter, the host of Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to subscribe to the show if you haven't already, wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episodes. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, it's changing the way we talk about sports. Welcome, Victor Oladipo. That's the show. The trade deadline ended today at 3 p.m. Eastern, but of course the trade with the Houston Rockets to acquire Victor Oladipo not announced till after the deadline had already passed. It was a whirlwind day, an incredible, crazy couple of hours there. Lots of changes throughout the Eastern Conference. The Boston Celtics making moves, the Chicago Bulls making moves, Orlando completely blowing up a roster that I didn't think needed to be blown up, but that's a whole other conversation. Sending Nick Vucevic, Aaron Gordon, and Evan Fournier away from the Magic in exchange for, I have no idea. There's so much going on, so much craziness. But you know what? Listen to Locked On NBA so you can get the full scoop of what's going on around the league. Because today, I'll be talking about Victor Oladipo and the Miami Heat. Miami acquires Nemanja Bjelica for Chris Silva and Mo Harkless. That was the first move that was announced for Miami. And you're thinking to yourself, wait, that's it? No Kyle Lowry, no anybody else. And that was a move that was a little weird because, well, you had the trade exception that expired just a couple days ago. The feeling was that Bjelica, it's going to take some time to get used to that name, would have fit into that exception. And so I'm not sure why the move is being made, but then it becomes clear later on that you're trying to clear up some roster space there. And that's why you make a move for a guy like that. You send away two players, unfortunately, in Silva and Harkless, less unfortunately, and you get a shooter to some degree. But then we start to worry about whether or not Miami is going to be able to finish the deal for Kyle Lowry and whether or not Miami's still involved in that. But the next move that gets announced, surpassing all of that, is that Miami acquires Victor Oladipo in exchange for Kelly Olynyk, Avery Bradley, and a future first-round pick swap, which is a head-scratching move. So I'll talk a little bit about what Miami had to give up in return for Bjelica and Oladipo, but first, focusing on what their impacts will be, how they'll fit on the roster, etc. Kyle Lowry, though, I think that still deserves some topic of conversation because Miami seemed like they were the front runners for most of the day, even most of last night. Toronto chose to hold on to Lowry, a video that you've probably seen by now of Lowry after last night's game, a phenomenal game from him and the Raptors, where he looks rather emotional and seems like he is saying goodbye to the whole Raptors experience. And then he gets a call from Drake during the post-game presser. That was a rather interesting little nugget there. But either way, it just seemed like he was saying goodbye, preparing himself. Raptors fans in tears, in shambles for most of last night. Oh, even as I'm recording this, the Spurs have bought out LaMarcus Aldridge. So we'll see whether or not that has any impact. By the time I'm done with this show, he might be a member of the Miami Heat. Seems like they're the front runners to add his talent, so that should be interesting. So as for Lowry, then we're starting to see that he's down to either Miami or Philadelphia as potential suitors. And then we start to hear reports that Tyler Hero is the sticking point for the Miami Heat, that they don't want to include him, but that they seem confident in being able to give up just enough, either Duncan Robinson, who was included in a package deal, along with other players in exchange for Lowry. Then we hear that the Sixers are still very much in the mix, that they're offering certain players, not offering Tyrese Maxey. I think that's the sticking point for Daryl Morey and the Sixers front office. The Lakers, well, didn't want to offer Talen Horton-Tucker, and he was the sticking point. So everybody has their fine line, their line in the sand that they've drawn and that they're not willing to cross, all part of the negotiations, which is why these things often take as long as they do, is you've put in your offer, they counter offer, you kind of sit and wait and see whether or not they budge. And then it was announced that just at or before the deadline that Toronto was planning on keeping Kyle Lowry, and then, of course, the news for Victor Oladipo comes trickling in. And not quite sure what we had given up at first, and then you start to see that it was Olynyk, Bradley, and the pick swap. The plan, it seems, from the Miami Heat was to get both, Oladipo and Lowry. I think they wanted to completely retool the backcourt, give them playoff experience, quality defense, give up less, shore up whatever issues they might have through the buyout market. And it's a good plan. It would have been a phenomenal plan. I think, again, what I talked about in yesterday's show, what I've been talking about pretty consistently, is the commitment to Jimmy, wanting to make sure that they maximize this. I thought, honestly, that no trade would go down. I didn't think the Oladipo noise made a lot of sense. I didn't know that they were going to be able to pull off the move for Lowry. I got this feeling that Toronto was going to keep Kyle Lowry, that there was a lot more smoke there publicly than what we expected, especially when he's a free agent. I don't know. It's kind of hard to gauge how these things play out. You take a risk, right, that you can re-sign Kyle Lowry as a veteran. Maybe not prepared to give up his mentorship, his presence. He's the defining figure there. In the same way that Miami probably should have figured out a way to keep Dwayne Wade in 2016, the Raptors have managed to hang on to Lowry, the guy who has defined that culture for a long, long time. That's a whole other story. For Oladipo now, that's the focus for Miami. And what to make of him, because that is a very difficult player to assess right now. And I know it's a big name. A lot of you listening to this are excited. If I'm judging anything from Heat Twitter and different fans that I've talked to, they're all very excited about the move. I am cautiously optimistic. He's 29 years old. He's in his eighth season right now. And you can look at his career stats for some kind of clarity as to what he does, but that's not really fair. There was the dysfunctional first few years of his career in Orlando when they were trying to figure him out as a point guard, as a shooting guard, kind of like Dwayne Wade in his rookie season where they weren't quite sure what to get of him, but without the closer's mentality, they forced him into a bigger role in a dysfunctional roster, in a dysfunctional locker room that went through several coaches early in his career, and Oladipo just couldn't seem to respond. He was beloved by Magic fans. He was a great guy to talk to as media, and yet there was still something about his play on the court that left something to be desired. He didn't have it. Then he gets traded to Oklahoma City in a head-scratching move there for Serge Ibaka, right? Yeah, they send Domantas Sabonis and Oladipo to Oklahoma City for Ibaka. That didn't work out for Orlando, and it didn't work out for Oladipo in Oklahoma City either, because then he winds up just playing alongside Russell Westbrook during his MVP campaign where everybody's pretty much reduced to a spectator role. So Oladipo can't be what he is, which is nearly a triple-double threat, especially at that point in his career. Also, as I'm recording this, the Oklahoma City Thunder, in a move that a lot of people saw coming, having waived Myers Leonard. So his career with the Thunder was short-lived, as who we expected, and now it's whether or not he'll ever have a future in the NBA. Something I've been reluctant to talk about because I'm not quite sure what to say about Leonard at this point, given his recent comments and I don't even know, given his career arc and his skill set, I'm not sure if there's a role for him moving forward. But he got paid some money this year, first by Miami and then next by Oklahoma City, so it worked out for them. As far as Oladipo then, he plays that one season in OKC, then they make the move to acquire Paul George from Indiana, send Depot over there along with Sabonis, both of whom become all-stars with the Pacers. And that's where you start to see his ascension taking place, where he becomes that explosive player. And now a great piece written by my former co-host Wes Goldberg talked about Oladipo, his training here with David Alexander of DBC Fitness. This is the guy who has been working out lots of players around the league, from Chris Paul to LeBron James to Dwayne Wade and on and on and on. Close connections with Miami. And so Oladipo becomes the best version of himself training under Alexander. He just figures out how to key certain parts of his body to help his explosiveness. He's able to shy away from injury and just become, again, really explosive, fantastic all-around player. And then, unfortunately, he starts dealing with injuries. Since the 2018-19 season, he played just 36 games that year, then 19 the next season. And you're never quite sure what to expect because he's always forcing his way back, then takes a couple steps back. Then he's got rust, has to shake off because he hasn't played for so long. Then he has a couple games, and he gets hurt again, and then he comes back. It's just the last couple seasons have made it very difficult to assess who Oladipo is supposed to be. But he's played 29 games this season, so perhaps he's on the right path. His stats this season, they're not impressive. He's a 20-point-per-game scorer, 21.2 points per game in 20 games with Houston. But a lot of that has to do with the fact that he's taking 20 shots per game. He's not going to take 20 shots per game in Miami. He shoots 40% overall from the field. Not great. 32% from three in his 7.7 attempts per game with Houston. That's a lot of shot attempts. He's also getting to the line fairly decently, about four, five attempts per game. He's a solid rebounder, solid playmaker, good defender. This is where you are with Oladipo at this point nine, is that he is a pretty solid triple-double threat kind of player. He's an all-around skill player. He's defensively minded. He's a good playmaker, a scorer's mentality, but not the shooter that he was during his All-Star campaign and never has been a consistently great shooter. That's never been his strength. I imagine it will become so in Miami. And it's kind of hard, again, to from there, he does not have the same burst. He does not have that level of athleticism that he had shown prior. Now, there are still moves there that he can't pull off. He has the occasional burst. It's not great. I think, well, you know what? Let's put a pin in that. Let's move on there, because where does Oladipo fit? How does he take the next step in his development? And what about Bielitsa? And what's next for the Heat? I'll talk about all of that throughout the show here on the number one Miami Heat podcast for the latest news, rumors, and analysis. Have you guys heard about SportsTrade? It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. It's amazing. SportsTrade takes fantasy to the next level. Their platform always allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players, just like real stocks, a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. When you're ready to buy shares, you pick that penny stock in a rookie with huge upside or grab that blue chip vet who's always a solid performer. You instantly buy and sell as many shares and as many players as you like, just like the stock market, then watch your players battle and your portfolio value rise. Simply go to sporttrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and then sign up to get started. Sign up today at sporttrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer and get in on the game at sporttrade.com. And when you want to make a little extra money in addition to that, go to BetOnline. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards and TV shows, reality TV, anything you can imagine to bet on. Real-time updated odds and props. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. I did not mention this before, but there is also the upcoming prospect or daunting prospect of whether or not to re-sign Oladipo. That I will put a pin on because he is a free agent. There is probably some kind of an agreement there. But given his injury history and the potential for inconsistency over the next 30, 40 games of his NBA career here in Miami, I don't know that Miami's necessarily going to sign him with an extension. We haven't heard any news of that. I don't think that they're at that point where they will probably offer something for a player like that. They were willing to give that extension for Kyle Lowry. Lowry wanting $25 million a year over the next 2 years. A little steep for a player his age. Probably could have taken a little bit of a discount at $20 million for Miami. Who knows? It doesn't matter because it's not going to work out. I imagine they'll probably revisit the Lowry addition in the offseason unless he chooses to sign outright with Toronto or re-sign outright with Toronto or Philadelphia. That's a hometown connection for him, so that one makes a lot of sense. As for Oladipo, again, as a free agent, who knows what he'll command? Who knows what his market will be? There'll be pressure for him to show out this year, but he'll also have to embrace a smaller role. And that's where it gets very tricky, understanding exactly how Oladipo can fit in. I know a lot of people are down on him. I think he is certainly not the athlete he once was. I think he's a smart player. I think he's a smart person. He's well-spoken, and he understands the game of basketball, coached by Tom Crean, so there's that connection to Dwayne Wade there. I remember writing about shades of Dwayne Wade in Depot's game years ago, and it's always been pretty apparent that there has been a connection there, something I've talked about for years, that he has long been interested in joining the Miami Heat. I said this, I don't know, three years ago, maybe more? I really can't remember now. It seems like a long, long time ago. And since then, I feel like it's become harder to determine whether or not he's the best fit for Miami. I don't want to make this negative. I know some people will already say, oh, there's Dave again going on and being a dark cloud to everybody's silver lining. The reality is I'm not sure how to make this move. I don't know how to judge the move going forward. Like, he's had good games in Houston, and he's had some games where not quite as impactful. And given all that, and given that he has to embrace a lower role here, I'll just launch into that. You know, as far as what happens with Oladipo here in Miami, it's going to be really – I imagine he'll start. So that means Kendrick Nunn goes back to the bench, and he'll have to adjust to. So you start Oladipo maybe as early as Friday night if he clears everything right away, if he passes health and safety protocols. I don't imagine that he would. Likely on Monday against the New York Knicks. And then he'll start alongside Duncan Robinson, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and then either Nemanja or Trevor Ariza, because you send out Kelly Olynyk in the trade for Oladipo. So there's your starter at the four. Could you go Precious Achiuwa? Yeah, I guess you could. You could start him for a few minutes here. That's a lot of non-shooting out in that starting lineup. I don't think you necessarily want to go there. So I think Bielitsa gives you Olenek type shooting, potentially. And Oladipo can and will have to understand how to adapt his role a little bit. And that's where it gets really tricky for me, is that whether or not he's willing to take a step back. You're going to want to look at his numbers and expect him to duplicate what he's put up in Houston. That's not realistic. This is Jimmy Butler's team. Bam Adebayo will probably defer a little bit because that's just Bam's nature. And that's an unfortunate side of it, because I think Bam is probably our second best scorer. If Oladipo can become effective and efficient here in Miami, and there's no guarantee that, given how Miami has struggled offensively throughout all of this season and even parts of last, there's no guarantee that he's going to be an uber efficient version. My hope is that it will be a seamless transition, because he plays a style of basketball not unlike Kendrick Nunn. And I think he could finally find a way to fit in alongside Jimmy and Bam pretty seamlessly. That's the hope. That's the expectation, I would say. Right now, the team hasn't made a statement. Nothing confirmed. It hasn't been, I guess, approved by the league office at this point. So nothing quite official just yet. I imagine it will be. Yeah. As of this point, the team has not made anything official yet. They're probably still getting the parameters discussed and approved by the league. But seems pretty likely that it's going to go through. If it's been announced as widely as it has, it's going to happen. It's just small minutiae that has to be worked out and finalized. Which is why these calls, which is a strange little twist, they're on a queue. Like, you're calling into a league office, and it's kind of like these 1950s operators saying, oh, please hold, and they plug you into a switchboard and have you on hold. So you're on a queue here where it's like, oh, you're behind Team X and Team Y, who are calling in their respective order, you know, trades. And so you even though the deadline has passed, you still get, as long as you're on the call before 3 o'clock, you can still go ahead and announce your trade, and it doesn't become finalized until after. Woj and Shams announced it already. It's so weird how that works out too. It's just an interesting little twist there. I'm concerned about Oladipo, but I have to say overall, I'm pretty positive about the trade. Like, I like Depo personally. I think he's going to find a way to fit in. I'm in the mindset that he's going to figure it out. I know the injury concerns are always going to be there. Like, they'll just dog him for the rest of his career, his life. But in Miami, given, I'm still a believer in their ability to take a player and maximize what they can do, keep them generally healthy, have them work harder, and become a better version of themselves. They're going to work with David Alexander. They're going to find a way to get him to be the best version of himself. I'm sure of it. I don't know why. I feel confident in that. I was not confident that a trade would take place. I'm sure I'll probably get roasted for it. I didn't think a trade was going to take place. One, because Victor is a free agent. And so why bother making the trade now? You don't give up much, I guess, in Olynyk and Bradley. That's unfair to them, and I hate even assessing it that way. But that's, I guess, from a value perspective, that's fair to say. But you still have to give up something in order to acquire a player like Oladipo, who, as a free agent, was probably going to sign in Miami anyway. So I didn't see that one coming. And I expected the Lowry, again, deal to fall through, which it did. Overall, I'd have to say it's a pretty successful deadline for Miami. Chris Silva wasn't getting any playing time there. I hate to see him go. Moharkless, well, that was abysmal. Avery Bradley, unavailable. I think he still could have contributed. I think there's still a hope that they'll be able to add somebody in the buyout. Let's put a pin on all that, too. Let's do that. I keep putting pins in things, you know? Overall, I'm going to leave you in this segment with the thought that this is a very good day for Miami. They've retooled their roster. They've brought in some veteran talent. It can help this. I feel like this is a low-risk, high-reward prospect for Miami. Victor Oladipo can make this team better. It's not a guarantee. There's a chance that he'll have injury issues, that he'll be wildly inefficient, that he'll struggle to figure out his role here and embrace it behind Jimmy. But I think that's where he's best, to be honest with you. Like, that feels like an aberration for me. His all-star season where he was showing out the way he did, where he was the star. As much as I feel like he kind of wants that role and he plays that way, I think he kind of feels more comfortable being the second or third guy. Now, he'll have his opportunities. He'll have clutch shots. He'll have clutch plays drawn up for him. I think Spo will figure out a way of blending those personalities there. But I think he'll be okay being the second guy in the rotation to Jimmy Butler. With Bam coming in there as a 2B, maybe even a 3A, just because of his general lack of aggression when it comes to looking for his points. Overall, though, still a good fit. I like the addition. Strange, strange day. Like, I'm recording this just a couple hours after the trade deadline expired, trying to wrap my mind around everything. It's not quite as easy as I would have expected. But I'll talk a little bit more about Bielitsa and what Miami had to give up during the trade deadline, because the Kelly Olynyk era, unfortunately, comes to an end. Stay tuned here on Locked On Heat. But let me tell you something that's an easy trade, not having to go to an auto parts store ever again, because it's just so hard to go in there, ask for the parts that I need, and then find these blank stares back at me, not knowing what I'm talking about, and then they just finally figure it out, order the parts I need on a computer. Why go through that process? I can order parts from a computer at home. I've got access to rockauto.com. They're a family-owned business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. It's so easy to choose from. Hundreds of manufacturers on their easy-to-use site. You get everything delivered directly, safely, and quickly right to your door. Why bother going to a store? Who needs parts that quickly that you have to go and maybe take a chance that they don't even have them there? I don't know. To me, it's just a no-brainer. So I go to rockauto.com because their low prices are the same for everybody. And if you go to rockauto.com right now and order parts for your car or truck, then go to the section that says, how did you hear about us? And you write the phrase locked on so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car or truck will ever need. That's rockauto.com. And one of the other things that I'm happy to talk to you about is Built Bar, because right now it's the time for determining which is the best Built Bar of them all, because it's Built Bar Madness. Listen, you've got to have tried these by now. 100% chocolate and all these bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein. But one of them has to reign supreme. And today's bracket, well, that's a really tough one. Coconut Puff versus Mint Brownie. Now, if you've been listening to this show at all, you know where I'm going to be on this side of the equation. I'm just not a fan of the Mint Brownie combination. I just can't wrap my mind around it. I'm going to go Coconut Puff all the way. But you decide for yourself. Go to BuiltBar.com or go to @bar_built on Twitter. Remember to use the promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your next order. That's LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And then check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar of them all. Get more analysis on the top prospects available in this year's NBA draft with the Locked On NBA Draft podcast, scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft. So here, just wanted to wrap up thoughts on today's trade deadline, because, again, a very exciting whirlwind time, still kind of reeling, hours away from Miami tipping off against the Portland Trailblazers that made a change of their own, acquiring Norman Powell from the Toronto Raptors. Look, the Raptors might have gone better. I think they're still a playoff team at this point. So things are shaping up weirdly in the Eastern Conference. Kelly Olynyk might even get bought out by the Houston Rockets. And I just proposed that I think he's probably going to rejoin the Boston Celtics. If they have a space for him. And they traded away Daniel Tice to the Chicago Bulls so he could back up Nikola Vucevic there. Like, there's always these moments after the trade deadline passes where you kind of just have to go, okay, this guy's here now, and this guy's there now. Huh, that's a weird move. Like, Otto Porter is a player that might get bought out. LaMarcus, like I said already, on his way to getting bought out. Just so hard to kind of predict what happens for Miami. There's limited cap space available for a one-year veteran minimum. $747,000, I think, according to current ESPN guy Bobby Marks. And one roster spot available. Yeah, sure, you could waive Max Strus or Gabe Vincent outright if you had to. But in trading away Harkless and Chris Silva, kind of clarifies things a little bit and clears up, again, that spot. So you're going to look to add somebody. Now, you've got Bielitsa here. And I think I think he's a starter. If for nothing else, because look, you add Oladipo in there in place of Nunn, inconsistent as a shooter, and still this season better than Oladipo. You've got Duncan still on there, who I expect to have a phenomenal uptick just because the pressure, the trade deadline, everything has passed for him. Tyler Herro similarly is going to bounce back. The fact that he wasn't included in a deal for Hall of Famer Kyle Lowry is probably a huge boost in his confidence. And so you've got Jimmy, you've got Bam there. You need something to replace what Olynyk was bringing to the table. That's Bielitsa. Ariza just isn't that guy yet. Eventually, similarly to what Jay Crowder provided in the playoffs, that's your guy. You start him. Aldridge, even at this point in his career, not a starter. A backup there, maybe you can promise him bigger minutes. He'll contribute. He's a guy who can play the four or five for you as a backup. He's just not a legitimate option right now. You traded away your backup center in Silva. Achiuwa was still too raw. You don't have Olynyk. You kind of decimated your front court there. I'm sorry, your back, yeah, your front court a little bit. And so you need some size. Otto Porter makes sense as far as a perimeter wing that you can probably get into good shape. Like, he's a Georgetown guy, so there's a connection to Zoe. I think it could work out pretty well. I just don't know that you can necessarily bring him in if he gets bought out. And we're all speculating here as to who's getting bought out and who's not. Look, the Clippers traded 2 second-round picks for Rajon Rondo. I can't make heads or tails of that move. Not everybody comes out a winner here. For Miami, that's, I think, different. Like, yeah, you take a chance here, but you didn't have to risk much. They played it, as many people are saying, perfectly. And I hate, again, quantifying this, as I mentioned in yesterday's podcast, trade deadlines, talking about players, somewhat dehumanizing. I've never been a big fan of the prospect. And I'll move on by saying, one, I think the trade was fantastic. I think it's going to help Miami. I think it shows a great commitment to Jimmy Butler, to Bam Adebayo, to building this team for a run this year. That you couldn't get Lowry to cement the process, that's a shame. But I think you still have enough here with an improved defensive player guard. You kept your depth. You didn't have to trade away Duncan or Herro or Nunn or any of your other scoring options. Like, you basically made a somewhat lateral swap in between Kelly Olynyk and Chris Silva. If you trade away Kelly Olynyk and Chris Silva basically for Nemanja Bjelica and LaMarcus Aldridge. Like, Silva, a great person with great effort and perhaps some great potential. I'm not sure exactly what to make of the rest of his NBA career. It was a great fit for him in Miami. I love talking to him. Perhaps one of the stories that I've enjoyed writing the most throughout my career. Just being able to sit with him, talk with him, to get to know him and his mom and his whole story was a phenomenal process for myself, and I just really, really enjoyed getting to connect with him and seeing, you know, what kind of a person and player he was. Unfortunately, he'll be in Sacramento now. Who knows what happens there? I'm hopeful that Luke Walton will find a way to get him to be the best version of himself. As for Kelly Olynyk, who knows what happens to him if he gets bought out by Houston? As he's in the last few months of a contract and becomes a free agent anyway. Chances are he's not going to re-sign with the Rockets. I don't know where his future lies. To go back to Boston would make a great fit there because he knows the coaching staff. He knows the players there. They didn't have to give up Marcus Smart. They still have got Tatum and Brown there. That's a good core. I think it could work out for him there. He could join the Raptors too. He'd probably be their starting center. And I think he'd be a great fit there to bring some pride to Team Canada. I could see that. That's a nice way to wrap up everything for him and his career. Look, he still has a future. I'm just not sure where it lies as a free agent. He's not going to command the same kind of money he was making over the last four seasons in Miami. There's still the inconsistent issues. The fact that he has a wide skill set that doesn't translate on the court all the time isn't going to get you a lot of money. You can't bank a potential at his age. So it's unfortunate. I love talking to him. I loved having, you know, Kelly on the roster and again, getting the chance to know him. I've written about him and talked to him and had him as a guest on his podcast. So it was all great fun for him. For Mo, for Avery Bradley, they weren't with the team very long. There's not that kind of same connection there. It's kind of weird. Like, you bring in Harkless because I think, one, he has a potential to become the same Crowder-esque type player, and you have some ties there with Myers Leonard. You know, they played together in Portland, and then, of course, you wind up trading Myers and you wind up trading Mo. So it's kind of like a sunk cost there. It didn't really cost you much to get it. And I think you can look at the balance sheet. Again, I hate even discussing things in these terms, but you made the comparison. You get Victor Oladipo, Trevor Ariza, LaMarcus Aldridge potentially, and Nemanja Bjelica in exchange for Myers Leonard, Mo Harkless, Chris Silva, Kelly Olynyk, and a pick swap. Not a bad deal. You've made improvements to a roster. There are still concerns about perimeter defense at the guard position. Ultimately, that role should belong to Oladipo, and I'm hopeful that he can take that and make it his own, although I'm not sure he's necessarily on the par with Bradley, but then again, Bradley wasn't playing much, and who knows whether or not he'd ever be able to contribute to this team. Overall, great showing from Miami. They did the best they could. They made an incredible effort. I don't think this is Danny Ainge-esque where you can say, well, we were this close. Miami made a run for Kyle Lowry, and they chose not to give up on the potential of Tyler Herro. That makes sense. I think there's still a possibility that you can sign Lowry as a free agent this offseason and maybe get him and Victor Oladipo to take somewhat of a discount. And then you retool your roster. You challenge the Brooklyn Nets for the next 3 years. That could work. It could happen. Great things happening in Miami. Should be a great season. The game against the Portland Trailblazers happening Thursday night. Not likely to be a good one. Jimmy Butler out due to stomach illness. It's going to be a weird, weird game for both. You got Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum there, but you've also got Max Strus putting up 8 3-pointers, I think. So that should be a strange, strange game. Not sure that I'll be recapping it, to be honest with you. I think everybody's got enough to work off of today's trade deadline, so hopefully this will keep you entertained and informed, and then I'll try to do some kind of recap or, I don't know, some kind of state of the Miami Heat tomorrow on Friday. Thank you so much for listening. As always, just a reminder that you can reach me via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskLaHeat. Subscribe to the show, and please, as always, leave a review. I appreciate those comments and those reviews. I'm signing off, thanking you, as always, for your support.